Charles Seeger.
So when the Depression hit me, and the chance to make music for the people who are really suffering depression, it was a great emotional experience.
My father, he had a theory that a new society would require new music. Of course, his theory didn't work out so well, and I've often told people how the proletariat was not interested in the songs produced by the Composers' Collective in 1932 and 33 and 34. And that's when he himself decided he should look into folk music. I've often told the story about him bringing Aunt Molly Jackson to the collective, and they listened to her for half an hour and said, "But Charlie, this is music of the past. We're supposed to be creating the music of the future, dissonant counterpoint and so on." And he takes Molly back to her little one-room apartment, said, "Molly, I'm sorry they didn't understand you, but I know some young people who are going to want to learn your songs, and I'm sure I was one of them." I was off in prep school at the time.
There was Aunt Molly.
John C.I.O., come John C.I.O.
I am a union woman, just brave as I can be. I do not like the bosses, and the bosses don't like me.
I was raised in Kentucky born and bred. And when I joined the union, they called me a Russian Red. John C.I.O., come join the C.I.O.
The collective should have gotten together and made songs and sung to people. And if the people liked one song more than another, then they make more songs in that style. Well, that's what Peter did.
Charles Seeger went to Washington, D.C. to start a family and work in the New Deal. This was when liberals and radicals were joining forces in a popular front, and folk music was popular in the Roosevelt administration. Charles Seeger's second wife, Ruth Crawford Seeger, transcribed folk songs for the Library of Congress. John Lomax and his son Alan worked there too and lived nearby.
Lomax started the idea, "I want to collect these old songs and make the younger generation realize these are the best songs in America. Far better than the pop songs being written in the cities, far better than the art songs being written by the conservatory-trained songwriters."
Bess Lomax, Alan's sister.
He saw the contemporary movement to create new songs, particularly by people like Aunt Molly, as exact parallel to Elizabethan bards singing scandalous songs about queens and their goings-on. That, in terms of the folk song academic movement, was a very radical position in that day. A folk song had to be old in order to be a folk song.
The Lomaxes and Seegers were possessed by folk music's nobility of spirit, its raw elegance. They were revivalists and romantics, inspired to save the old songs. They made an old discovery that we all have musical roots, that the source of what makes us musically distinct lies in our collective memory. Cy Kahn, folklorist and performer.
Folk music has, at its best, refused to be censored. There's often a raw truthfulness. I'll go back to Wagoner's Lied. It's an extraordinary song, 150, 200 years old. Your parents don't like me, they say I'm too poor, they say I'm not worthy of entering your door, but I work for my living, my money's my own, and them that don't like it can leave me alone. That's a truth that transcends centuries. And the heartbreak of this young woman, who because of her parents' prejudice is losing the man she loves, you know? Your wagon needs greasing, your whip is to mend, come sit you down by me as long as you can. And he says, "My wagon is greasing, my whips in my hand, so fare you well, darling, no longer to stand." It's brilliant. The emotions are timeless.
It was fun on the Seeger's porch in Maryland. On many a hot summer evening, an American folk music revival was born, and the woods rang with music. Here, Bess Lomax sings with 20-year-old Pete Seeger.
Oh, I love you, love. He had the four-string banjo, and I remarked to him, "What do you play that instrument for?" His answer was, "Well, what should I play?" And so I said, "You should play a five-string banjo." Just like a beginner, an amateur in those days, that the five-string banjo was the proper thing, the four-string banjo was not the proper thing.
I was traveling, and I heard one of these old-fashioned long-neck five-stringers, five-string banjo played by people at a square dance contest, and I'd never heard music like that before. I just thought it was wonderful and wanted to latch on to it.
I don't remember the first time I met Pete.
Peggy Seeger, Pete's sister.
He probably held me in his arms when I was born, for goodness sakes. I mean, he was born in 1919, and I was born in 1935. I remember him coming down once when he had just found the song, "I Know My Love by His Way of Walking." I know my love by his way of walking, and I know my love by his way of talking. I remember feeling how exotic that song was, because my father was fairly laid back, and my mother was very involved in her piano teaching.
She was studying folklore like mad, not only from books, but from folklorists in Washington. I met the Lomaxes almost immediately.